the Holy Spirit is coming to descend upon the people of God to purify them and strengthen them for the tribulations that are here and coming. That next on Countdown to the Kingdom. Hello, I'm Mark Mallett from Countdown to the Kingdom and thenowword.com. And once again, joining me from the Palatial Studios of Albany, New York, is Professor Daniel O'Connor. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. Good to be here. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to see you. And we have some good news to start our show today, do we not?
We have very good news. What you've always been waiting for is here.
Well, because it's Lent and we've been waiting for it, because, you know, on Fridays, this is well known among us Catholics abstain from meat on Good Friday. But thanks be to God, Bill Gates has once again just come out of the woodwork with his normal, in his sweater, with his calming words to reassure us that once again, we have an opportunity to have meat on Fridays. And the reason we're saying that is he is promoting now beef that is synthetic. And there you see it in a Petri dish. And this is what he said last week, February 14th, in MIT Technology Review. He said, "I do think all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. You can get used to the taste difference. And the claim is they're going to make it taste even better over time. Eventually, that green premium is modest enough that you can sort of change the behavior of people or use regulation to totally shift the demand. Saying to people, you can't have cows anymore. Well, talk about a politically unpopular approach to things."
Yeah, maybe he's regretting that last phrase there, but this is completely twisted.
It is twisted.
And we, in fact, have a not just a common sense reason, but even a prophetic reason to think that there's something pretty twisted going on here.
Well, you know, the first thing that I think to point out is that everybody knows that Bill Gates feels that the population of the world is too big, that God must have messed up somehow, because he's obsessed and literally obsessed with reducing the population growth of the world. Now we hear him saying that, you know, pretty much in the Western world and the rich countries, we need to get rid of cattle because they're contributing to global warming. And yes, folks, we're talking about cow farts. That's what he's referring to.
That's what he's saying. Yep.
Is the methane coming from cows. So, you know, we have to go back to what it says in the Bible. And God said to man, he blessed them. God said to them, be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. The same thing he said to the seas, be fertile and multiply. Let the earth bring forth every kind of living creature, tame animals, crawling things, every kind of wild animal, and yes, bovine creatures with four legs. So God, you know, is saying, fill the earth, fill it to brimming. In fact, he said something to Louisa Picaretta along that vein, Daniel. I think you've got
I have the quote right here. This is from her volume. This is from June 25th, 1928. Jesus told Louisa that he told her, look at the sky, how populated with stars it is. The earth was supposed to be the echo of the sky, crammed with inhabitants, and it was to produce so much as to render everyone rich and happy. Underpopulation, in other words, is the problem, not overpopulation.
Right.
God made the earth. He made us. He commanded us to multiply, to fill the earth. We haven't done that yet. So we need more people, not fewer. And in fact, we have a crisis today of population. And it's not too much.
That's
it's
right.
That people stopped being open to life, being generous with life a few decades ago, several decades ago. We've got a completely skewed population profile right now.
That's right. In the Western world, the population rates have fallen below replacement levels in many countries, such that 50 years from now, Germany, as you know, will no longer be Germany. That's just a fact, because they've stopped having babies. And we know other countries such as Russia and others are paying people to have kids. So the problem is not overpopulation, it's actually underpopulation. But you going back to what you were saying earlier, there was a prophetic element to what was said by Bill Gates. And once again, we turn to Father Michel Rodrigue, Don Michel for the French. Well, consider this, what he said on November 2019 retreat that he gave. Satan will try to inflict our bodies. This is important, what I'm telling you, he said. Many sicknesses now are from the devil, who has inspired new sciences. He will strike the body through food and medicine created in laboratories. Scientists are now playing with genomes, the genetic material of life, and a new scientific meal is on the horizon, fabricated meat. In 2020, it will be in the markets, I assure you. That's Father Michel Rodrigue. And here you have, of course, Bill Gates saying that now promoting here at the beginning of 2021, this synthetic beef. And he, by the way, he said synthetic. He didn't say plant-based. So I don't know what kind of Frankenfood right now that Bill Gates is promoting, but I don't want it. We raise our own beef here on the farm. God gave us these animals. He gave us all of creation for mankind to be able to live and thrive and to see God's hand, to see his glory in it, and to give him glory again. So I'm sorry, yeah, Mr. Gates.
And we don't need to feel guilty about it. This is for us. And this is what secularists can't understand. They condemn us for, they condemn Christians for anthropocentrism, looking at nature and seeing man as central. Well, man is central. All the plants, the animals, the earth, the water, like all that stuff, it has value, yes, because God made it, but why did he make it? He made it for us. Mm-hmm. God, all of this, it exists for mankind. There's nothing wrong with taking an anthropocentric approach to your environmental concerns. In fact, you must do so. To fail to do so would be to buy into the lie that man is on the same ontological level as plants and animals. And that is a lie. It'll never be true. It wasn't even true in the garden.
Nope, man is the centerpiece. Man and woman are the centerpiece of God's creation. And we aren't the blight. And all the Hollywood movies tell, you know, they basically paint mankind right. is the blight.
As man is the virus on the world. Yeah.
That's right. Now, mankind is certainly harming creation. We are certainly polluting our air. We are polluting our oceans. We are polluting each other, especially through poisons and the processes we use in our food. And we've gone into this before, but it's terrible what we're doing. So there does need to be a correction of conscience. And that leads us now to the next, where we want to start getting into the messages on Countdown to the Kingdom. And we are doing this now every week. We're taking a look back at the messages from heaven that are being given to seers around the world, and we can hardly keep up with what is being said, and we're almost watching it right now in real time, aren't we, Daniel?
I mean, we share some links and thoughts before we get on here, and it's impossible for us to even keep up with how much the prophecies are being fulfilled on a weekly basis. We won't have time to even go through them all in this webcast, but all of these prophecies that we've been seeing over the last years, but reaching a fever pitch recently, we really are seeing the fulfillment and the fruition of them happening right now. Even a change in tone in these messages from future to present tense.
And again, what you'll see, brothers and sisters, is the prophetic consensus. Seers from around the world speaking different languages in some cases, saying very much the same thing now. And for me, seeing this, I haven't quite seen it like this before, where you've got from week to week, almost major themes are emerging, and you're going to see it now. So why don't we begin with Gisella Cardia. Gisella Cardia, again, a seer from Italy. And on February 20th, our Lord said to Gisella Cardia, "My children, how I suffer. I am among you. I weep because of all the sufferings that they are causing me. Beloved children, how I suffer. What is my church doing to me? I am already here, and humanity still does not believe. It does not understand how much pain I feel, how much pain for my church. She has turned her back on me. Yet I built her together with Peter. She is my church. I will not let the devil take possession of her. but she will be reborn in glory. My children, pay attention concerning false doctrines. Do not fall into this trap. My favored ones, the priests, will be called to account for what they are doing. Pray for the true priests, those of Jesus Christ, because persecution is underway. Go ahead, Daniel, if you want to start with some comments on that. I know you have some thoughts.
There's too much happening, sadly, right now, fulfilling these words, where the persecution is underway, this caution to avoid false doctrines. Do not fall into this trap. And I was just meditating on that word trap. And what is a trap? Well, a trap is set up such that it doesn't look at first glance like a grave danger. It might look at first glance that you're just stepping on a nice crunchy leaf, but then you do so and then snap, your leg is in a clamp and you're not in a good position. That's what's happening now with these false doctrines. They are not being presented in the most blatant, sometimes they are, but they're usually not being presented in the most obviously, blatantly heretical terms. We're seeing these false doctrines coming through not only the world, but increasingly through the church as our Lord. We're making this an extraordinary message because usually Giselle is receiving messages from Our Lady, but this is our Lord lamenting about this happening and saying that the shepherds, the priests who promote this, the bishops, they will have to be called to account for this. Dignity, affirmation. Mm-hmm. Those words they sound so nice, don't they, Mark?
Right.
But what are we really talking about here?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that really strikes me with this, and for those of you who are reading the Revelations to Servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, one of the stunning things you'll see is how often when Jesus would visit Louisa when she was in a state of ecstasy, he would reveal to her the state of things in the world. And because she was a victim soul, she would then make reparation with Christ, you know, making up again what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, as St. Paul says. And he would often break down and be sobbing, she would say. This happens in her 36 journals. You see Jesus, you hear him sobbing and crying. And maybe some people out there, you're thinking, wait a minute, Jesus, you know, he's God and he's, you know, he is the eternal joy. He's eternal happiness. He's eternal peace. But you know, the simple way to explain this is that when you see your little child fall, when they're walking on the floor and they stumble and they start crying, you know, as a parent, it moves your heart and you run to them and you pick them up. But it doesn't necessarily ruin your day, take away your joy. In fact, it's precisely because Jesus is love, God is love, that he enters into our suffering and his sobbing and his suffering is for us. And it's not that we detract in any way from his joy and his happiness. It's that he is suffering for us. And I just wanted to make that point because some people might be wondering, you know, why does Our Lady cry? Why do statues of Our Lady weep? And it doesn't diminish anything from their eternal beatitude. It's an entering in. The word compassion means calm with passion, with our passion, with our suffering. Heaven suffers with us. And that's why they cry. And so they're crying right now because of what is happening with the shepherds. And once again, this is what is emerging from it. The message is again this week, if we turn again to Luz de Maria, we see also our Lord, I think, highlighted this. Am I thinking of Luz?
Yes, this is, this message is from our Lord as well. And this is an extraordinary thing about this week's mm-hmm. message. They're both coming to these seers directly from our Lord, even though it's usually from Our Lady or in the case of Louis St. Michael. And I'm not sure if it was this message or the one before this, but certainly Louis's messages have been receiving the same theme, yep, where the shepherds are unfortunately promoting these false doctrines, neglecting, as we talked about in our last webcast, the true magisterium. And this theme is not going away. It's just getting higher and higher and higher up in importance, which of course tells us that a false magisterium. We're not saying open up Vatican II and decide what in it is magisterium and is not. No, You submit to all the actual magisterial documents, period, that you're calling as a Catholic. The point is things are being presented to us by many bishops, by many priests, unfortunately, and even occasionally in the Pope's own personal opinions that are contrary to the true magisterium. And yet Catholics who aren't being careful and people in general in the world who aren't being careful are just taking it as, oh, this is coming from the church. This is magisterium. This is church teaching.
Right.
No, it's not. You have to read the documents for yourself and reject anything that contradicts what already has been handed down to us in Scripture, in the Catechism above all. Stay true to those things. And if you do, you'll see that what's coming out of too many in the hierarchy today is contradicting what we see taught clearly in there. We've got some examples, some quite unfortunate examples queued up for you right now, actually. Do you want to bring some of those up now, Mark, or should we save those for later?
Well, certainly. For instance, we see President Joe Biden's priest, his parish priest, is defending giving him communion. And this is the Atlantic reported that there's many liberal politics and politicians in that particular parish. It has a Black Lives Matter banner hanging outside. And, you know, folks, we, of course, believe that all colored lives are essential. They're all created in God's image. But Black Lives Matter, the organization, is a Marxist banner. It has no business hanging on a Catholic church. And, what was said here is that Biden, in the article, it says that Biden sees the Eucharist as a gift that enhances his faith and it energizes his witness. And the priest said it's really an encounter with God. We most certainly encourage him to improve his intimacy with God through the Eucharist. But brothers and sisters, this is what St. Paul says, is that those who are not in a state of grace, in a state of mortal sin. And when Joe Biden is promoting abortion, defending it, legalizing abortion, and making sure the Supreme Court can't do anything about it, this is a man who, objectively speaking, is presenting himself, as St. Paul says, in an unworthy manner. And whoever does so, says St. Paul, will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. So he said, let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. St. Paul also says elsewhere that when we eat the Eucharist, we become one. We're one body in Christ. And this is why when we're in a state of objective mortal sin, or we reject the church, or we reject her teachings, you should refrain from the Eucharist, because to become one with the body of Christ is to become one in unity of mind and body, unity with her teachings, with the truths that Jesus has given. You have no business participating in the Eucharist if you're rejecting the church's teachings. And so, especially St. Paul says, if you're rejecting them to the point of being in grave mortal sin. And so
not our interpretation. This isn't just Mark trying to give his own meditation on St. Paul's scriptural passage here.
God,
this is
us.
Catholic teaching. I mean, it would be a beautiful one if it was, but what I'm saying, Mark, is you are confirming, you are expounding upon what the church herself teaches. Open up Canon 915. It's right in there. And I can't remember the exact phrasing off the top of my head, but the gist of it is that public manifest grave sinners cannot be given Holy Communion. Think first of all about how much damage you are doing to that soul who is in a state, objectively speaking, is committing grave sins, as we know that promoting abortion is. It's among the most grave possible,
right?
Especially in proportion to the power of the position of the person doing so. And there is no higher earthly position in terms of secular power than the President of the United States of America. So I shudder to think of the gravity of his sin as a so-called Catholic promoting abortion.
This is really quite a public thing, and this is why we're addressing it. We're talking about the President of the United States, and I think, rather than improving his intimacy with God through the Eucharist, he is potentially bringing judgment down upon himself. And so once again, we say, Brother Joe, you're a fellow Catholic, repent. Turn away from this. You cannot dismember babies in the womb and then walk up to the aisle, because you have blood on your hands, sir. You have blood on your hands. And for that matter, so do all of us who remained silent in the face of this grotesque infanticide, the Holocaust of our times.
And that's the big question, and that's the real thing here. It's not just about Joe Biden's soul, as much as we do care about that, of course. He's a child of God, and we care about his soul. But the bigger issue here is the scandal of what this says to hundreds of millions of Catholics around the world, that, oh, you're also just fine if you're blatantly contradicting church teaching, if you are promoting abortion or having abortions or committing or performing them even, you're also just fine. This is just part of your walk with God. You know, you come to the Eucharist and grow more intimate with him in that way. What a diabolical lie. And what scandal our shepherds are spreading throughout the whole church by giving him communion and then advocating for giving him communion. And this is just one of so many scandals we're seeing coming from the hierarchy today. And it's unfortunately only one of a number of things that came out just this past week. And this is more than just, you know, we highlighted that article a few minutes ago, just from what one priest was saying. But this is sadly a lot more than just one priest, what you're about to see on your screen here.
Yeah, this is the Tyler Clement Foundation, and they have a statement that Catholic bishops are signing to on protecting LGBT youth, and so lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender youth. And the document says on their website that all people of goodwill should help, support, and defend LGBT youth who attempt suicide at much higher rates than their straight counterparts, who are often homeless because of families who reject them, who are rejected, bullied, and harassed, and who are the target of violent acts at alarming rates. And Daniel and I would agree that nobody should be subjected to that kind of discrimination or pushed to the point of despair. People who are struggling with their sexuality, whether they're heterosexuals struggling with lust towards somebody they shouldn't be, or whether they are struggling with a homosexual tendency towards someone of their same sex, no one should be afflicted in this kind of way. And so we agree with that. But the statement goes on to say that the Catholic Church values the God-given dignity of all human life, and we take this opportunity to say to our LGBT friends, especially
young
people. It's
okay if you struggle with that.
I know. There's
actually a few extra letters today.
I think there's about another 78 letters you can add on there. That we stand with you, it says in the statement, and we oppose any form of violence, bullying, or harassment. Well, we agree with that, but there's nothing in this document that also says that when we stand with you, we're standing with you in truth, which means we stand with you to lead you to heaven, which means even though you're struggling with this tendency, we're not standing with you following through with that tendency. We're not standing with you following through with your relationships. That is called just discrimination. And scripture and the Bible and God's word constantly, justly discriminate. I mean, right. Our laws
discriminate, just differentiate. It just means the power of judgment, in other words. It means being able to tell the difference between right and wrong and acknowledging when you see that difference and calling wrong wrong and calling right right. Where is that done once in this statement?
Right.
Where is that done once anywhere in the entire Tyler Clemente Foundation? Where is that done once by a single bishop in any of his preaching who signed this statement? I haven't seen it anywhere. But well, that's what we were saying. This is a trap. It sounds great at first, but we know it's a trap, and there's the deeper part of the trap right there in front of you.
Well, there you go. We went into the website, and it says, the Reformation Project exists to train Christians to support and affirm lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Through building a deep grassroots movement, we strive to create an environment in which Christian leaders will have the freedom to take the next steps toward affirming and including LGBT people in all aspects of church life. Well, I have 8 children, love my wife. I'm not struggling with my gender, but even I am not included, Daniel, in all aspects of church teaching, or not church teaching, but church practice.
Church life, yeah.
If
right, we're married men, we're Latin Rite Catholics, we can't be priests.
I can't be a priest.
Sorry, I interrupt you there because my feed's breaking up a little bit here, oh, okay. But I'm sure we can fight through it. But
no,
this
but I was going to say, Daniel, that even if I'm in mortal sin, I can't just go to the sacraments of the Eucharist. I have to go to confession first. So, and you mentioned priesthood. You can't be a priest when you're married in our Latin rite. So there's many ways in which people are excluded. But as you were saying earlier, there's nothing in this statement that carefully differentiates those who are struggling with their identity and also calling them to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, which does not permit the inordinate acts of homosexual activity. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Right.
Yeah, it's absolutely, they are intrinsically, gravely evil. And I say that out of pure love for homosexual mm-hmm. people, because I don't want to see them destroying their lives and I don't want to see them walk the path to hell. And that's so, something else I want to say about what you have on the screen there, Mark, but before I say it, I just want to point out, more importantly, or at least equally importantly, we say this, dear people struggling with same-sex attraction. I don't like to use the word gay, but I'll say that now from gay people, because that's the word you use. We say this because we love you. This is the worst thing you can do for someone is confirm him and affirm him in his self-destructive habits that are ruining his life now and that are prodding him along to the path of perdition. We say this because we love you, because God loves you. He loves you infinitely. He created you. He wants to be with you forever. And you need to walk towards him, not away from him. You know, you hear people say, oh, I'm against, we can't have gay marriage because it'll ruin my own marriage, it'll detract from my own marriage's sanctity. And I mean, there's merit to those arguments. But for me, that's not at all why I'm fully against anything that endorses homosexuality. I'm not at all worried about my own marriage losing any sanctity. I'm absolutely certain and confident in that. I am so strongly against any endorsement of homosexuality whatsoever, whether you call it gay marriage or homosexual civil unions or whatever, solely because I love homosexual people. I love you. And I don't want you to see you confirmed in your self-destructive habits. I want to see you called to God, called to repentance. And that's not what these statements do. Mark and I, we didn't do any investigative journalism to uncover this. This is right there on the Tyler Clementi website. This is their open teaching. They are saying that they are advocating for affirmation here towards taking the, quote, next steps. I think that's also in front of you somewhere. Yeah, there it is, right in what Mark has highlighted. Mm-hmm. We all know what that means. And the bishops who signed this statement know what that means. And they know that we know what it means. Like, we all know what's being talked about here. The affirmation is about endorsing homosexuality, which is precisely the type of false doctrine that heaven is warning us against. I think it was Sister Lucia Fatima said, this final battle is over. It's going to be over these issues, and we're seeing it coming up in front of our eyes.
Yeah, well said. And I think we can just leave it at that. But we're not patronizing either. We're not patronizing people who are struggling with this. I know it's very close to home for you, Daniel. I have relatives as well who are struggling. I remember I sat down with one of my dearest friends one day, very close friend. And one day he said, Mark, I want to tell you something. And he says, I lived with another man for 6 years. I was in a relationship with him for 6 years. And he at that point, though, when he told me this, he was living a life of purity in community and just a beautiful saintly man. And I looked at him and I said, oh, you did, eh? Well, what are we going to have for dessert here? Because it was like, to me, it was like, he was a little bit worried, how I respond, if I would jump up and scream. And, mm-hmm. I love the guy. He's a beautiful man. And, what we're saying applies to heterosexuals. There's men out there lusting after their neighbor's wives. That is an inordinate desire as well. And you need to repent as well. So we're for the whole gospel. This is a gospel that's, not just for heterosexuals, not just for people struggling with gay tendencies. It's for everybody.
And as Pope St. John Paul II said in Theology of the Body, you can't even lust after your own wife. Lust is a sin. It's absolutely ruled out. We need to have our passions. Yeah, we need to be in control of our passions. Our passions can never control us. And God, especially this Lent, is calling us to be purified of being controlled by our passions.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to...
Okay, well, go ahead. We have a little bit of a delay. That's why we always step on each other.
I'm sorry, we're interrupting each other here because we're having some internet issues. So you'll just have to forgive us both. But you know, I was looking through this statement on here, and there are, and it's probably, maybe it's better that we didn't even put it on the screen. Although, then again, these people did publicly sign it, so they're choosing to be known for this. I'm looking at a dozen bishops here on my screen who've already signed it. Right. And Father James Martin was bragging just today as we're recording this, and I can't even keep up with all the Catholic bishops and religious orders and Catholic schools signing the statement. And my goodness, that is exactly what we should have expected, right, with heaven warning us about this apostasy coming.
Well,
and I'm scrolling on my other screen, seeing
how about Our Lady
of, yeah,
yeah. Sorry, Daniel. How about we start with Our Lady, who said to Pedro Regis on February 18th, she said, "Return to Jesus, who loves you and knows you by name. You are important for the realization of my plans. Listen to me. Bend your knees in prayer for the Church of my Jesus. The moment of great agony will come for her." Her passion, right? "As I have said in the past, many who are fervent in the faith will embrace what is false. Seek strength in prayer. Be faithful to my Jesus. Look to him. Your victory comes from the Lord. Onward without fear." And she says, you know, in a message 2 days before that, when all seems lost, the great victory of God will come for you. So Our Lady's warning here that we are going to go into our passion where everything will seem lost, this great agony that's coming for the church. And I have to tell you, it's a great agony for us right now to sit here and to talk about these things because, you know, we're not trying, you know, we're not going out there looking for what the bishops are doing, looking for dirt on our priests. We love our priests and our bishops. They are there in personi Christi, in the person of Christ. I love them. We love our priests. They are a gift and a grace to us. So this is an agony for me today on this webcast. Those who know my writings, I have stood by our Pope and our bishops. So has Daniel. But we are ultimately disciples of Jesus, not of men. We are disciples of his gospel, not of these men in their own private opinions. And so we have to be faithful. Let us be accursed if we preach a gospel other than the one that was given to us, other than the one that was handed down. So brothers and sisters, we have an obligation according to Canon 212. I don't have it in front of me. It says the laity, and I'm summarizing it, they have a duty and even an obligation to speak the truth to their shepherds. And they have the right to be able to do so long as they do it with reverence. And I feel we're doing that today. We're not here calling them slime and you know, empty tombs. We're here saying what they're teaching is leading souls astray. And my heart right now is for the people they're leading astray, but it's also for these men because, boy, I tell you, all of us who are in positions of teaching, as are you and I, Daniel, as it says in the book of James, "Woe to you who are teachers, for you will be judged more harshly."
Pray for us.
Yeah, please do.
Please pray for both of us that we may always ourselves stay on the straight and narrow that we are always begging everyone else to stay on. We need our prayers. We're praying for all of you, but please don't forget to pray for us. Yeah. This message that Mark just highlighted from Pedro Regis, and this is probably getting ahead of myself a bit here, but it's also right here in what our Lord said to Gisela. Mm-hmm. And he's telling her that this is all a preparation. And we're broken records on this also, and that's okay. We want to always make sure that these dire messages we give are embedded in a message of hope and joy and excitement even. That's okay. You should be excited. Yes, hard times are coming. But with God, he only ever allows pain if he knows that he's bringing a far greater good out of it. You can come to that conclusion philosophically, as I've described in earlier webcasts. So the more dark it gets, the more dire it gets, our excitement for what's coming after should grow in proportion to the gravity of the signs of the times around us. That's what all these messages, just almost every message that talks about how dire things are getting, also talks about how glorious what is about to come is. And this message to Gisela, it takes that to an extreme degree almost. And it's true, but it's amazing that a paradise is going to rise again. A new era, a new earth, a new heavens, the church reborn. God's will being done on earth as in heaven. This is, if this is what he is preparing for us, of course, it's going to take some major upheavals before. And yes, we have to get through them, but always with our eyes on the prize, which ultimately, of course, is heaven. But it's also God's will reigning on earth.
She says, or I'm sorry, this is Jesus again to Gisela. He says, the times that will come will be for the purification of the earth. Nothing of what you know will remain on this earth. And yet you are still thinking about earthly things. Confess and prepare yourselves, because time is running out. Be ready in prayer. Be in my grace. And I'm just going to jump from that right now to what Our Lady said to a Californian soul. And this, again, is a message given to him. Let's just check the date here for those who are wanting to know. This came on February 20th. So this is, I'm not sure if that was the same day, but I mean, all of these are within days of each other. But here is Our Lady saying the same thing that Jesus just said. The time is running out. So she said, pray with me during these last hours of the year, which is about to end. During its course, I have again intervened many times to obtain from the Lord the gift of his divine mercy. But the time which awaits you is that time when mercy will be espoused to divine justice for the purification of the earth. Do not await this coming year with noise, she says, because this was given around the end of the year, with cries and with songs of joy. Await it with the intense prayer of one who wants to again make reparation for all of the evil and the sin in the world. And so this message, by the way, was given, when it was given, the statue in the home of this seer was weeping. And that's the statue right there. This was a photo that was taken on February 15th, 2021. And you can go up to the top and we can see a little closer image of this beautiful statue of Our Lady. But she was weeping. She was weeping profusely, he said, when this message came. And if you look at the last part of this message, she says, I have come to you, my beloved ones, and children consecrated to my heart. You become in these last hours of this year my teardrops, which are falling upon the immense pain of the church and all humanity as you enter into the grievous times of the purification and the great tribulation. And keep in mind, these messages are being given to this Californian soul through the messages of the Blue Book. And with the last two from her have referred to the end of a year or the end of a century. And I think that is a symbol to us that we are at the end of this time of mercy. And as Jesus said to Gisela, time, you know, be ready because time is running out. Be in a state of grace.
Purification was emphasized in that message, which is also the same thing emphasized in the very next message of the Gisela message we were looking at, mm-hmm. where Jesus tells her, I want to purify you all. May you be found prepared, because otherwise you will not manage to bear what awaits you. Mm. So we've talked about this coming of the Holy Spirit as itself preparing us for what's coming thereafter. And indeed it will. The Holy Spirit is coming. He's going to come, and the Holy Spirit is going to come more powerfully than ever in the warning. He's also going to come at Pentecost. We know that liturgically it's going to happen pretty soon. Which one's going to come first? I don't know. The warning could be very soon. We don't know the date of the warning, but it could be extremely soon. Either way, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out powerfully. And that's not just a matter of waiting so that we can have the Holy Spirit moving forward. It's also a matter of preparing ourselves now for that new outpouring. Because if our souls are not purified for that new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he's going to come as a purging fire as well. And that is going to be incredibly, incredibly painful.
Jesus says to Gisela, now the Holy Spirit will descend on you. I want to purify you all. May you be found prepared, because otherwise you will not manage to bear what awaits you, which is what Daniel was saying. So the Holy Spirit is being prepared to be poured upon us. And, by the way, I should just go back to that, because in a couple sentences before, Jesus said to her, my daughter, bear my suffering joyfully. This will be a special Easter. And then you turn to the message to Luz de Maria, also from Jesus, on February 16th. And he says, my blessing helps those who welcome it in a special way during these 40 days. So here you've got two different seers, Jesus saying this Lent is going to be special. And he says, same thing, my Holy Spirit will give you his light in those areas of your personal lives where you need to improve. This blessing of mine will grow within the person who is worthily prepared to receive the light of my Holy Spirit with humility. So the call here from our Lord Jesus is for us this Lent to really prepare our hearts to receive the Holy Spirit more and more. And when I read this, Daniel, this was pretty exciting for me because in my own writings, years ago, I spoke about how when the warning came, this would also be a Pentecost of sorts, the beginning of a Pentecost that would then find its fullness in a new Pentecost in the era of peace. But that it would begin in our hearts, that this outpouring would be a beginning in a sense of this kingdom of the divine will. And I really feel that this is the grace that's going to be given to those who are preparing for the divine will. They are going to be given this gift in a really special and increased and exponential way, I feel, with this coming outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm speaking right now prophetically, so go ahead and discern what I'm saying. You can retain what's good or toss it out. I'm totally okay with that. But I'm reading these words from our Lord here, and he's basically saying there's a blessing coming. Prepare your hearts for it. And of course, Daniel, this is why Our Lady has been calling people to pray and gather in cenacles, in these upper, that's what a cenacle is, an upper room, to pray for and prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And God bless those of you who are taking this seriously, especially in your families, praying the rosary together and invoking the Spirit to come and fill and transform your families.
Amen. Keep your cenacles going strong. Maybe most of you, that'll be your family, but if you're not living with immediate family, form a cenacle in some other way. Pray with other people at Mass every day. Maybe you can stay after Mass and pray at Divine Mercy Chapel or a rosary. You can, if you can't even do that, you can find online cenacles. You can pray with others online. But we need to be praying as a community. And what we'll also see, if we have time today, is the Antichrist through his minions in the world today, trying to separate us from each other, trying to divide us. We've already seen this unprecedented attack on the Mass itself, but it's not restricted to just the Mass.
Yeah.
He's trying to separate us all from each other. Since we were taking a look at the Luz message anyway, it's a bit of a different topic here, but maybe I'll bring it up because... Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. There's that message of the Antichrist right there in the center of your screen.
The Antichrist. Oh, they're Antichrist who is sending you the winds of his presence on earth. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking at here. He is spreading the fear of fraternal encounter during this time of walking towards the culmination of the fulfillment of the mission that my Father entrusted to me for the redemption of the human race. Fear. We're back to what the Antichrist is doing now. Fear, so that my people would not leave behind the disgusting rags with which they are laden, in which they flaunt. Now, the disgusting rags, of course, above all, would be our sins. Those are people flaunting their sins. That's what we need to leave behind, those disgusting rags of our sins. But let's also take a look at what this very paragraph is saying. This is about the Antichrist, through his minions, the wind of his presence on earth, in other words, spreading the fear of fraternal encounter. We're being told to be afraid of each other. Yeah. We're being told to avoid each other. We're being told, we've been told for a year now, we need to not get together, not have communal life, not be too close. And that when we do see each other, when we do see anyone, we need to be covering 2/3 of our face with a disgusting rag. One of these things right here. Maybe. So,
for those of you who are listening to the podcast, I'm laughing because his mask says, you got to hold it up there again. It says yeah, this mask is
my favorite mask.
Is useless.
At least it's an honest mask here. I bought it on eBay from someone, but I just had to have that.
We're going to have a whole bunch of viewers mad. Oh, Daniel and Mark are making fun of masks. These are saving people's lives. Well, I'm just going to interrupt you right there, those of you who are saying that, because I'm a former television journalist, and I have, research is my thing. And I have spent the last year looking at all the studies right up into February that are coming out on masks. And I keep updating this writing that you see here on my screen. This is at thenowword.com. And I keep updating this writing with the most recent studies. And I'm telling you right now, the studies continue to show that masks not only cannot stop this virus, are not stopping this virus, but they may actually be spreading it. And plus, I also go into the studies that are showing the tremendous harm they're causing physically now to people. The complications are just amazing. And but at the same time, now we have Dr. Fauci again calling us for wearing two or three masks, which are only going to make these complications even worse. So anyway,
he also said that it's actually going to be into 2022 that we need masks. So they're never going to let us get our freedoms and our rights back. That was never part of the plan. You know, that we see coronavirus cases plummeting now. Don't worry. They'll find a new strain to make us perpetually live in fear for. That they're not going to let us go back to normal. They don't want that. They want the control. This is a totalitarian. I'm not saying coronavirus isn't real. I'm not claiming the whole thing. I'm not claiming it's a hoax. I know it's real. But the question is, what are the nefarious powers that be using this for? They're using it to leverage for their control, for the New World Order, for the Great Reset. This is openly admitted. This is not conspiracy anymore. They're admitting to it. So obviously, if they have these great and glorious plans in mind, they want to be memorialized for, of course, they're not going to let that opportunity pass. But the point here is, it's already been a year that they've been, if they said, okay, wear a mask for a couple of weeks, I would have said, okay, fine, that's ridiculous, but I'll do it. We can't stop being communal beings for a year. And we can't do it for another year, that's for sure.
Right.
How do we commune with each other? We see each other. We see each other's faces. That's primarily how we interact with each other, through our faces. If you're covering two-thirds of your face all the time, you can't even smile at another person. You can't connect with them. This is a much bigger issue than it might appear to some people at first, who say, oh, it's just a little disgusting rag. Just wear it. No. Get rid of your disgusting rag. And yes, I wear it when I'm required to by the legitimate authority of the place I'm in, but right. I certainly don't otherwise.
Yeah. Well, again, folks, those of you who feel, and there's a lot of, we've heard of priests actually calling the police on their parishioners for not wearing a mask. And I would encourage you to read that article once again, Unmasking the Facts. That's at thenowword.com. Read that article. I've got all the studies are there, including looking at some of the studies that seem to approve of masking. But the studies are there, and it breaks it down, and it's unequivocal that these masks do not stop this virus. It's way too small. It wouldn't even stop the flu virus, and it's half that size. So, anyway. Yeah,
and you can prove it to yourself.
Yeah.
Wear a mask, spray your perfume. Do you smell it? If you smell it, that means that your mask is not stopping coronavirus, because the perfume particles are bigger than the coronavirus particles.
And
so you can prove it to yourself.
You're a scientist.
Yeah, it's really fairly straightforward here. And look, yes, if someone's going to sneeze on your face, I'd rather have a mask on, sure, to prevent the visible water droplets from getting on my tongue. But you're not in that situation 99.9% of the time. So we can't put ordinarily life perpetually on hold for these, so that we don't get a flu, which is, the coronavirus. That's what a common cold is. It's also a coronavirus. Anyway, you brought up that yeah. I want to quickly say, if I can squeeze it in, that you brought up people having the police being called on them for not wearing a mask. And we're seeing this all over the place. Mm-hmm. But that's just one small sign of the persecution that our Lord said to Gisela also in this last message, but I accidentally skipped over it. The persecution is underway. Mm-hmm. And we know it's going to get worse also. But for a long time, the messages have warned of the persecution coming. And now we're seeing the persecution is underway. And when I read that, I was also seeing in the headlines the same day that the U.S. Congress is about to vote in the Equality Act, which we need to pray against and fight against. Because, it sounds great, doesn't it? We were talking about the traps before. Equality. It sounds wonderful. Yep. No, this is about This is the biggest, single biggest step in American law, at least, towards outlawing the Christian moral law, because the Bible itself is going to become hate speech soon, because, yes, it condemns homosexual acts. We see, I also saw the same day that the White House itself, I know I'm talking about America here, but this is coming throughout the world. Oh, you've got it. The White House is now formally coordinating with big tech to suppress this so-called misinformation. Guys, 1984 is here. That's not fiction anymore. So yeah. Well, there's nothing left to wait. But the persecution, as our Lord says here, it is underway. We need to not pretend otherwise. But while it's still possible for us to get the message out, we need to do so with more zeal than ever before. As Our Lady said in the last message to Gisela, gather as many souls as possible while we still can.
And here's a really an interesting message again to this Californian soul. This was given in 1986 to Father Gobi, and then our Californian soul received these numbers. He visibly sees them in before him. And I have seen this happen. And again, you'll have to go on the website and read it. I don't want to repeat this every time we do a webcast. You can go on to the countdowntothekingdom.com and read this message and read his story and how he receives these, because the messages to Father Gobi are profound. Here's one in 1986, but now Our Lady is saying, I want you to hear it again now. I want you to hear it for your time, because it is your time. And she says, interestingly, comparing the disorders and everything going on to epidemics, she says, these are the first of all evils of a spiritual order, which harm the supernatural life of your souls. Sin is spreading as the worst and most pernicious of epidemics, which is bringing sickness and death everywhere to many souls. Let me go down to the next paragraph. She says, there are evils then of a physical order, such as infirmity, disasters, accidents, droughts, earthquakes, and incurable diseases, which are spreading about. Even in that which happens to you in the natural order, see as a warning sign for yourselves. And everything Daniel was just talking about, the clamping down on freedom of speech. I mean, even if you are 100% agree that this is the worst pandemic in the world, if that's what you think it is, fine. But the idea that you would go along with not letting scientists who disagree with you speak against that, to give their science, to give their voice, which is what the White House and other countries are trying to shut down, is reprehensible. As St. Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so I'm telling you now, the Spirit of the Lord is not in the White House. That is a spirit of control. And as you'll see in a moment, it's the spirit of Antichrist that would silence the truth, because many of these scientists are warning that the vaccines that are out there, they're actually warning these might cause a catastrophic death toll. And you can read that in my writings on the Now Word, where I quote and go into the science and the footnotes. It's all there. But listen, let's continue here. Even that, she said, in these natural things, you should see a sign of divine justice, which cannot allow the innumerable crimes which are committed every day to go unpunished. There are evils of a social order, such as divisions and hatred, famine and poverty, exploitation and slavery, violence, terrorism, and war. To be protected from all these evils, I invite you to place yourselves under shelter in the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Now, here I want to tie now. Here she gives us this message about the epidemics, both physical and spiritual. And now she tells us the times in which these arrive. She says, in these times, you have need above all of being defended from the terrible snares of my adversary, who has succeeded in establishing his reign in the world. It is the reign which is opposed to Christ. It is the reign of the Antichrist. In this last part now of your times, this reign of his will reach its peak strength, of its power, of its great seduction. The hour is in preparation when the man of iniquity, who wants to put himself in the place of God to have himself adored as God, is about to manifest himself in all power. And there again, Daniel, we heard this last week in the messages from different seers, not just this one, different seers saying the Antichrist is now about to reach his peak. He's about to manifest. He's about to appear. And by the way, when we say he's about to appear, that doesn't mean necessarily that his, literal 3.5 rain, if it is a literal 3.5 rain, doesn't mean that necessarily begins. It could mean that he just comes on the scene and he makes himself aware. I'm not really sure what that means. We could speculate. But the point is that we need to prepare because his reign and his power and the seduction, she said, is what you need to prepare for. And boy, are we seeing seduction, Daniel. I mean, the seduction right. we see
and
in people.
That's the thing. You need to not allow yeah. yourself to be seduced by his ploys that are, mm-hmm. sure, he hasn't made his public entrance yet, but he's still acting through his minions all throughout the world. And even if he weren't, the devil would be in an unprecedented degree today anyway. So you need to be on guard. Anything against anything that is anything like what the Antichrist would be preaching. Be especially on guard against any sort of modernism, any sort of New Age garbage. A false ecumenism, a false interreligious unity. These are the types of ploys the Antichrist will use. Now, we're coming up to the very end here, and we want to end with an inspiring quote, but real quick, when we bring up the Antichrist, I know people are understandably terrified because you know that how horrendous his reign is going to be, especially for the faithful. But in the same message to Gisela that we've been discussing largely this whole time, Jesus tells her, "My children, stay together more than before. Help one another, because soon everything will be lost. Fire and water are in preparation, but you will be taken away by my angels and carried to a safe place until something like paradise rises again in a new era, with a new earth and a new heavens. You will be carried away to a safe place," it says. Mm-hmm. Look, we've emphasized other seers who have said the same thing, Father Michel especially, that there will be refuges where the remnant will be protected from the persecution of the Antichrist, which is why the key is to remain faithful now and not worry. Don't buy a bunker in the middle of nowhere and store up 3 years of food, thinking that'll make you safe. No, we need to trust God for that protection. And right now, remain absolutely faithful to Christ and his mother and the church and the true magisterium. That is our task right now.
And I can't think of a better word to close on. And then that's going right back to that message where a lady just spoke about the coming of Antichrist in our times. Under the bloody scourge of this terrible trial, how are you to avoid being scattered and discouraged, and to remain strong in the faith and faithful only to Jesus and to his gospel? My Immaculate Heart will become your strongest defense, the shield of protection which will safeguard you from every attack of my adversary. But today, you have special need of being consoled. To whom will you be able to turn in the painful moments which are awaiting you, when the great apostasy will reach its peak and humanity will arrive at the summit of denial of God and of rebellion, of iniquity and discord, of hatred and destruction, of wickedness and impiety? In my Immaculate Heart, you will be consoled. For this reason, I say again to each one of you today that which I said at Fatima to my daughter, Sister Lucy. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the sure way which will lead you to God.